Let's get Richard C. Hoagland's take on this Japanese earthquake and tsunami. Curious, how are you going to tie this in, Richard?
Ready?
I'm ready.
Well, many years ago when I was at CBS, and after the Apollo program was kind of winding down, one of the producers approached me in the men's room of all places.
Oh, that's said, nice.
Well, that's where all the key meetings take place. You know that, George. Anyway, so he saddled up against the side, but, you know, in the next stall, and he said, would you like to be a consultant on our new show, Walter Cronkite's Universe? And I said, yes. And things kind of matriculated for a while, and then I saw the plans for the show, and I called John. His name was John Ward, and I said, this is not going to work. You're doing a 60 Minutes of Science where you have separate stories with separate correspondents, kind of imitating 60 Minutes. I said, what you need is a unified approach where each of the stories connects with the other one, so when people see the end of the show, they have a unified feeling that they really understand how the universe is trying to work.
Right. Good idea.
And they would not do it. They wanted the separate approach. Well, I'm a generalist. You asked me the other night, what could I possibly know about Japan? Well, there's a lot about Japan I know about. For one thing, the plate tectonics, where Japan is. For another thing, the whole radiation nuclear thing, which, of course, is part of my astrophysics background. And then there's the hyperdimensional model, which, frankly, kind of freaked me out the night we were on deck and you called me, because just minutes before, George, on the cruise into 2012, I had stood in front of several hundred people as part of the physics of 2012 and the consciousness aspect, and I had said, based on our work, where we have things occurring in Africa, and then 120 degrees around the Earth, we have things occurring on that longitude going all the way up to the pole. I was thinking Madison. We'll get back to that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look for something big and major 120 degrees further west around the Earth over by, you know, Indonesia.
Wow.
And then we go upstairs, and you tell me we've had an 8.9 on that longitude. Now, the latitude of the quake was geodetically 39 degrees, which should ring alarm bells for a lot of the audience because that's twice 19.5, but it is not part of the physics. It's part of the ritual. So I'm thinking, did somebody do this? I mean, there's a huge amount of internet chatter, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's HARP. Oh, it's this. It's enemies. It's the New World Order. It's the Illuminati.
Somebody dropped a bomb down there.
Yeah, exactly. Like they also claimed for the Indonesian quake in 2004. If this was done, it was done with torsion. I have been waiting very meticulously to find the evidence to support this awful idea that somebody actually did this. And this afternoon on my Facebook page, a guy named Quinn, just go and take a look, it's public domain, you can go and read it, gave me the readings that he captured that evening off the HARP website, showing unequivocally magnetometer readings spiking exactly just before, not with the earthquake, but just before the earthquake hit. At 5:44 Japanese time.
And these are readings from HARP.
From HARP, from Gascona, Alaska, where the HARP facility is located. They then took down the readings and had completely changed what was posted, trying to cover it up. Fortunately, our guys, and we have a huge intelligence service now, 20,000 fans and friends on Facebook, they grabbed the screenshots, Quinn did, and put them up this afternoon, and I will be using them in my Amsterdam presentation as part of a larger discussion, what the heck is really going on.
So you're saying, and we're not saying we're tying them in yet, but you're saying that moments before the earthquake, HARP was beaming like crazy.
Something was going on, and it spiked the magnetometer readings on all three azimuths, you know, east, west, north, south, and vertical. And then it went on for hours during the rest of the afternoon and evening as we get other things happening. Now, this brings us to the radiation, because I've been watching bizarre stuff occurring around this Fukushima plant that any normal nuclear physicist, and there have been a score of them all over television, every one of them is saying, I don't understand what's going on. It makes no sense. These readings don't make any sense. We're not getting the full story, or we're getting conflicting stories.
Right. And I'm convinced we're getting some of the radiation.
Well, we're getting 1/100,000th of the normal background radiation that you normally get. So radiation here is not an issue yet.
Yet.
If we had a complete meltdown, it would probably be equivalent here to a couple of chest x-rays. That's how you basically disperse this radiation from, thousands of miles away. Remember that old saw, the best solution to pollution is dilution.
Yeah, but don't forget, though, the person who gives you the x-rays always wearing that lead flak jacket.
Or they duck out of the room.
Yeah.
But that's because they do it day after day after day after day. It's accumulative. Remember, it's all about accumulation. Of course, for Japan, the worst-case scenario would be a nightmare. It might even make a large part of the island of Japan uninhabitable, which is terrible, and I don't think we're going to go there, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday, the Japanese government issued a warning about infants drinking tap water.
In Tokyo?
In Tokyo, which is 130 miles southwest of Fukushima. And then today, they lifted that warning and said it's perfectly fine.
How could it be bad one day?
It can't. The half-life of iodine-131 is, I think, 30, 31 days, something like that. There's no way in one day it could be not good for infants and the next day fine.
They realize people are panicking.
Well, yeah, but you can't tell them it's good for you because it will come out that it's not, and then the government gets screwed, and everybody gets fired, and the whole new government gets elected. They've done that a lot of times in Japan, unlike us, where we keep the same guys and keep the same guys and keep the same guys.
Yeah. Let me get to different parties, same guys.
Yeah. Now, here's the important thing. For those people who are seriously concerned about radiation dangers, Robin has on her website, healthfreedomrights.com, the most complete dossier on what you should be doing, what you should not be doing. If you have health problems, do not start gulping potassium iodide pills. That will kill you, or at least send you to the emergency room. So the cure would be much worse than the disease. We must not panic. The key thing here is don't panic. There's no reason to panic yet. And if I'm right, there will not be a reason to panic, and here's why.
I love the way you said yet.
Well, because you have to always leave the door open that things will happen that you don't anticipate. Like, presidents never deal with their agenda. They deal with things that happen in the world after their agenda is put on the table. So here's the interesting thing. The only way these bizarre fluctuating readings make sense to me, again, 5,000 miles away and not able to get near this place, is if someone is doing something technologically, in secret, combating the radiation. In other words, using torsion field physics to do what exactly should have been done decades ago all over the planet in terms of nuclear energy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.